Off the Ball, GAA.
Oh my God, outrageous. But like, we were quietly confident coming into the game, like, you know, so I'm not too surprised that we won.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
All right, welcome to the Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. I'm delighted to be joined today by host of the renowned hurling pod. It's William O'Callaghan. Will, hello, how are you?
Thank you for using my full legal name there, Colm. I'm not sure if this is an attempt at charm or over verbosity. What's going on here?
I'm a charming individual, as you well know. Rachel Sheehan also joins us, one part of Word on the Street. How are you, Rachel?
Very good, thank you, Colm. How are you?
It's fair to say. So we have Cork, Offaly. All in all, a fantastic weekend just gone. We started this positive note.
Yeah, let's.
It's positive. I mean, like, I was a lot more positive at Offaly before Donald Burke hit the equaliser. It felt like a kind of a point dropped almost by the way it finished, but it was far beyond expectation. And my expectation on this pod is, after Michael McCarthy last week saying that as a nation, we overrate Cork hurling more than anything else in Ireland, I now have got Cork people either side of me, albeit virtually currently, who I presume are going to argue that actually we're totally wrong and that Cork are going to win everything.
Listen, it's just another victory, isn't it?
Yeah, like we were talking about today, it's just the journey. You're not going to put words in my mouth here now, Will, and let me stumble on my first appearance on the Hurling Power Rankings. I'm going to play it safe this week.
Yeah, it's all par for the course. Shall we get to the first graphic here? Let's see what we got here. Let's get straight into this. Right, so we have in order here, Kildare 11th, Offaly 10th, Dublin 9th, Wexford 8th, Waterford 7th, and then Kilkenny 5th. Will, let's talk about your beloved here in 10th position, Offaly.
Yeah, I mean, again, the weekend just gone by was a pleasant surprise, really. I had a feeling that there was going to be a kick in this team, particularly when I heard middle of the week that both Kieran Burke, who's been basically out for most of the season, has been a very important defender for the team most of the year, was going to come back in. He had featured in some recent challenge games. And then the word was that Charlie Mitchell was going to come in to start. So Charlie Mitchell is Offaly's captain. As people may well be aware, he was diagnosed with an inflammation of the heart at the tail end of last season when he was playing college hurling. Hadn't played a competitive game since the end of 2025, hadn't really been training since early 2026. Even when he was doing media ahead of the Leinster Championship the week before, the feeling very much was that Charlie Mitchell probably wasn't going to feature until deeper into the Leinster Championship than appearing on weekend one. But as Johnny Kelly, the Offaly manager, said afterwards, he's been going well in training for the last 3 weeks, and they decided that he was ready to go and go straight into the team. And then he puts in this most remarkable performance where he scores one goal and 3 points and is returned to the side, including one of the points of the weekend over on the stand side over his shoulder at a crucial point during the game. There were plenty of good Offaly performers on the day. Again, Adam Screeny had a real kind of coming of age performance. We're well aware of his talents from the under 20 team that won the All-Ireland Championship. Last season was a little bit stop start for him because of that injury that he's had, which he needs to manage. And then at the weekend he was up against Donal O'Donnell, a seasoned defender back in with the Dublin Hurlers for this season, and I thought that Adam Screeny gave him a really, really difficult time. He spun around him multiple times, set up the goal for Brian Deignan, took his own goal very well in the second half for Offaly's third goal. And there was just that hope that Offaly, who were not scoring very freely during the league, they scored just one goal in Division 1A, then score four against Dublin at the weekend, and the scoring rate was massively up. You now start to just dream whether there's a possibility that Offaly can get results against Wexford and Kildare particularly, and to be not thinking about relegation on the last day in St. Conlett's Park. And maybe actually, because Dublin have now started with a draw, there's no reason to think that Offaly can't actually maybe fight it out for the top three.
Yeah, you started with Charlie Mitchell there, Will. He is your county story of the week as well, for very understandable reasons, like you just justified.
Yeah, I mean, to me it's quite remarkable. He was the Offaly Hurler of the Year last season. He was excellent for Kilcormac Killahy. He's been, you know, a lead player really on the Offaly team that got to the under 20 All-Ireland that lost to Cork. He was overage for the year they won the championship, but stepped in at a very young age into the senior team. He provides something very different to the attack, whereby he can either go in closer to the square or he can come out, as he did oftentimes last week, and links up the play. I didn't know if there was going to be 70 minutes in him. He said he was blowing hard at the end of the game when he did the interview on GAA+, but to me it was one of his best performances performances in green, white and gold so far. And it's just a massive boost now to have him back because, as I mentioned, Offaly were kind of maybe missing some of that potency during the league. Also, injuries have hurt them where they've had to reshuffle a little bit. Maybe Dan Ravenhill, who would have typically played in the forwards, is now to play in midfield because of injuries elsewhere. Even for this weekend with the trip to Galway, they're without Cathal King now, who picked up an injury, and Brecon Kavanagh. So they're down about five or six players, but still getting Charlie back in feels like this massive boost. And I think a lot of people were first of all concerned about his health to make sure he was going to be okay. Like anything around the heart particularly, you want to be extremely careful about. We were waiting for more updates coming from the medical team as the league went on. The longer it went on, it seemed like he wouldn't be playing intercounty this season. A few people in his club had said to me that maybe it might be club championship before we see Charlie Mitchell this year. So a huge, huge boost and a big part of why Offaly were able to start the championship very promisingly in the weekend just gone by.
Will, you are an impartial man. How high do you think Offaly can get in your power rankings this year?
Well, the Wexford game in 3 weeks' time is probably going to determine an awful lot of that.
And what Dublin do from here.
Wexford are eighth at the moment. I mean, I fully expect that Dublin, who are obviously just above them at the moment, are going to put in a big performance against Kildare this coming weekend. I kind of felt start of the season that Dublin should be targeting a Leinster final, particularly where Kilkenny look a little bit vulnerable this season. For Dublin to do that, I really felt they had to pick up 4 points in their first two games. Go beat Offaly away from home the first day, beat Kildare in their second game, and then they were really set up going into the nominally three more difficult games after that. Dublin have now left themselves a little bit of work to do. It's a little bit more kind of like knockout hurling for them if they're going to finish in the top two. I think they'll still feel that they can get into the top three, but because of what's happened in the weekend just gone by, I think you probably nudge Wexford just ahead of them in the possibility of finishing in the top three now. So it's going to be, it makes Leinster a little bit more intriguing that that game finished up with a draw in the first place, because many of us, I think, probably expected Galway and Kilkenny to occupy the two top positions, Dublin maybe to challenge them. And now I think the fact that Dublin have dropped points gives huge incentive to Wexford, who, to be fair to them, got the job done against Kildare. Kildare were level at half time. Lee Chin scores a goal towards the end of the match to just kind of wrap it up for Wexford. That was kind of business done. And now they go to play against Kilkenny this weekend at Nolan Park, where they've got a really good record against Kilkenny. I know we'll get to Saturday the week in a little bit, but Wexford have turned them over multiple times. And if Kilkenny perform like they did in Salt Hill, Wexford have an opportunity to pick up points at Nolan Park. And if that happens, it blows the Leinster Championship wide open.
Yeah. Rachel, what of Dublin here? Down one in Will's power rankings in ninth position of 11. Limerick's conquerors, of course, last year in the championship. Where are they this year?
I have them, so Will did them last week. I stayed out of the first week of the hurling rankings just to get the lie of the land. I wanted to see what Will was doing before I came in. I have Dublin at eight. I mean, like, you know, beating Limerick last year was unbelievable for them, and obviously, you know, they fell to Cork in the semi-final and they probably felt that they underperformed on that day. But watching them against Offaly, I thought Offaly were better. You know, I thought Offaly deserved to come away with the win. Like, looking at Adam Screeny, especially when he turns to give D, catches the ball, turns inside to give Dynan the ball for goal. Outstanding. But especially when he takes the goal himself, like, he's running in, he's like a soccer player. Like, you see his head is up, he's scanning every 2 seconds. He's looking for people all the time off the ball. And maybe from such a star underage, he was probably looking to take it on in years gone past because there was such a reliance for him. But now he's looking up every time he gets the ball. So I was expecting Dublin to come out on top in that one, but Offaly really surprised me. And just on the Charlie Mitchell story,
yeah,
it was a weekend where we saw a couple of people coming back, like Ozzie Gleeson returning from Waterford, I'm sure we'll touch on later on, and Shane O'Donnell starting for Clare. Begs the question, like, do you really need to be training all the preseason to be coming back at your peak? Like, if we think Charlie Mitchell hadn't been able to train and he comes up and gets man of the match performance, is it just in you sometimes if you're going to perform like that? Like, there's three players there that weren't involved in high training setups for a lot of most of the preseason and the majority of the league. They all came up clutch in championship.
Well, Ozzie Gleeson's coming back in phenomenal shape.
He's phenomenal shape, yeah, but like, hadn't been involved with the county team, the county setup. You know, just, I was just thinking, like, is it, sometimes do we put too much of an emphasis on a lot of the training that's going on? And if you've just got that in you, I know they're all exceptional players in their own right, but it's just,
well, like, in between training all the time and running out of bed, there is a fine line to be hit here. It is all about timing, Will.
Yeah, and the other thing as well, you mentioned Shane O'Donnell. So, like, we've seen him what start. The league final came off as a bit of precaution midway through it. He played in Antrim during the league. Didn't see a huge amount of league time outside that. Again, that's the benefit of Clare, you know, being as stacked as they are when they were playing in Division 1B, that they were able to ease him back in. But, you know, the season before in 2024, when they won the league, his first appearance was in the league final. And I remember chatting to Shane about this, and he just said, look, he knows his own body. He's had a few kind of recurring injuries. So from his point of view, he generally kind of finds his way into the tail end of the league, and he wants to produce his best performances then over the couple of months that follow. Last year, obviously, it took a little bit too long for him to come back, and at that point Clare had lost a couple of games in Munster, and unfortunately from his perspective, the hurler of the year before couldn't have the impact he wanted to have. But he knows how to manage his body, and I'm sure from Ozzie Gleeson's point of view, he probably knew the shape he was coming in when he goes back to Queeley and Shannon and says, look, I want to come back in and be part of this team for the championship. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Liam Rush in Dublin is going to be in a similar circumstance, where, you know, Neil O'Callaghan is very familiar with him from Nafina, and obviously feels he can do a job and provide something different for Dublin. Again, I was looking at him warm up at the weekend. He looks in really, really good shape. So the whole thing is that these guys keep themselves in fantastic nick, guys, anyway. And to then step up to that, it's really about just getting the sharpness of championship hurling. And some people are, you know, a little bit different to others. And in Ozzie Gleeson's case, you know, former hurler of the year, former young hurler of the year, you saw him at the weekend. He didn't look like he'd lost a step. But maybe he wasn't quite at that championship temperature just yet either, where I know he scored a couple of points, but he wasn't necessarily the all-action Ozzie Gleeson that we see. So I'm intrigued to see where he is for the next couple of weeks and how much of a role he's going to play for Waterford against Tip this coming weekend too.
Yeah, Rachel, you have Offaly in 9th, Dublin in 8th, Wexford 10th and Kildare 11th. But look, we've touched on Ozzie Gleeson. Let's get to Waterford, Will, because you have them down in a very lowly 7th with Kilkenny in 6th. Poor old Waterford can't catch a break here. Losing again in Munster, a hat-trick by Stephen Bennett. An unbelievable display in many regards, but beaten again by Clare. They can catch a break here, either by yourself, Will, or by the powers that be.
The powers that be, or the hurling pod people, because generally our comments this week, it's never a great sign when you wake up after you've put the video up at whatever it was, 11 or 12 o'clock the night before, and you see there's about 60 comments on there, and you're going, okay, let's have a quick read through. Daisha, Arsenal supporter, I think was one of the top ones that I saw, and it was, how dare you guys be going on about the four games that Waterford have only won in the round robin? We were doing up Welsh Park, and that meant that we had to play games in Semple Stadium, and what about the 2 years where it was gone, and we got to an All-Ireland semi-final and got to an All-Ireland final? The reality is, I'm not denying that in any way, but Waterford's record in the round robin is not good enough. Generally, they start quite well, and again, they started pretty well against Clare this weekend, just gone by. Stephen Bennett, obviously, with that remarkable performance with 3 goals and 12 points. Mm-hmm. But as Peter Queeley said, and off the ball afterwards, they need to get more support around him and they need more scores around him. And the reality is that if Billy Nolan hadn't made some remarkable saves, I'm particularly thinking of the one where he had to dive down on the right hand side and flick it out into safety, Waterford could have conceded more games against Clare and it would have been more comfortable for the banner. But I think, Colm, that tees it up wonderfully for our Harvey Norman Hawkeye moment of the week.
Yes, yes, Will, take us away.
Well, this is all Rachel's credit, because I was trying to think of one. I was trying to think of a really controversial moment from the weekend, or one that was a sliding doors moment that could have made a massive difference. So to pick this up, it's in the first half of the game, Waterford are in the ascendancy. They've already caused plenty of problems when direct ball is coming in. Sean Mulch has been really good, and he's been a good target man for them during the game up until that point. The ball breaks, and it looks like as if it's about to run through. Now, there is a foul, a couple of phases of play before he picks up the ball, and then two players tangle literally just before it breaks through. But the reality is that Waterford's number 11 is flying through towards goal, but Shane Hines, the referee, had already blown the whistle. And this is not having a pop at the referee. He obviously felt he had to call it for the free, which is in a very scorable position. But the reality is that you could have had Walsh running clean through on goal. And if Waterford raised another green flag at that point, I wonder, does that put more pressure onto Clare? Because Waterford were in the ascendancy at that point in the game. So Rachel's picked it out. I think all credit to you, Rach, for spotting this. That could have been a huge moment if Waterford register another goal.
Take your lap of honour there, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks very much, Will. It was a bone of contention for me personally during the week. We played a game and the advantage really came up, and it's just so inconsistent across the board a lot of the time. It's like, are you going to give me 5 seconds? Are you going to give me 10 seconds? Is it different if I'm coming out of defence? Do you just blow the whistle because I'm probably not going to do anything with it here, or as opposed to attack? And they were right to feel aggrieved. Like, he was in, he was going to get the goal. And it probably shows that there wasn't, it wasn't a absolutely contentious moment, you know, in terms of refereeing and these Hawkeye moments. We didn't have a lot of them across the weekend, except maybe in Thurles when the actual Hawkeye didn't didn't come up on the screen, and we had to rely on Sean Stack to give us the nod and trust him to tell us that about Dara Fitz's effort. But yeah, like, the game changes there if he's in on goal as instead of tapping it over the bar.
The game does change, and that's where I have a bone to pick here, Will, with Waterford and Kilkenny placement in your Harvey Norman power rankings this week. Now, neither want to be in the second graphic, or the first graphic in this case. It's not good for either. But, Will, how are Kilkenny a place ahead of Waterford when they suffered their biggest defeat in Leinster in 36 years? Like, Waterford, they lost, but they scored 4-21. Dare I say, Aver Quilligan makes that big save at the end of the game. Clare go up the other end, win the match by 6 points. But that was incredibly close, whereas, quite frankly, this was the second embarrassment in 5 weeks for Kilkenny away to Galway. How are they sixth and Waterford are seventh?
And before you answer this, Will, I'm going to jump in and say that I think you did say last week that these are all based on the games we've seen, current form. So I hope there's not a little bit of Kilkenny pride or, you know, just history and heritage creeping into this answer before you answer, you know?
No, I don't think there is. I was tempted, to be deadly honest, I was tempted to drop Kilkenny further than I did.
And scared.
The reasoning being that obviously we've had these two matches now that have happened against Galway where Kilkenny have conceded 69 points. And perhaps more importantly, Kilkenny have barely fired a shot in either of the two games. Mm. I think the performance the weekend just gone by was remarkably concerning. I was chatting to Tagli Fogarty on The Last Word on Friday, and he was saying the one thing you can almost be assured of is that Kilkenny won't go down with a lack of fight like they did in Salt Hill the last time that they had gone there in the league, where they took their worst defeat in league or championship since the 1950s. And as good as Galway were, and I don't take away from that whatsoever, they look young, they look energetic, they look exciting. We'll talk about where they are when we get to the second graphic. But Kilkenny were really, really at sixes and sevens, and there was a severe lack of laying down a marker, fouling, halting their play. They allowed Galway to hurl far too much, which is not something you think characteristically of this Kilkenny team. And they were just so reliant at different times of trying to put the ball in long to TJ Reid, who at 38 years of age is now basically a target man towards the square, as opposed to being the more dynamic TJ Reid of the half forward line that we would have seen previously. But it wasn't like Kilkenny had poor personnel out there, but so many times their own Cody was getting isolated, whereby he would get swarmed by a series of Galway players. Kilkenny's half back line had problems all the time. Their puck out was getting absolutely swarmed by Galway throughout it. Just all these things you don't associate with Kilkenny. Like, I do think that Kilkenny will show a response this coming weekend. Wexford feels like a total banana skin on Saturday afternoon, but if they were to navigate that, everything is then back on course again. They go and play against Offaly away from home the week afterwards, and maybe we're talking about Kilkenny team having 4 points on the board. But the pressure is on. The former players are now saying, what's happening? You know, what's going on with these lads? There's only a few left with All-Ireland's left in the entire panel. One of them is in the bench and their goalkeeper, Owen Murphy. The other one's TJ Reid, who's up in the forwards. It's just not clicking, and there's question marks now over, you know, the composition of whether their full back line is going to work out. They're missing the best full back of recent years in Hugh Lawler, who's gone. Billy Ryan is now gone from the forward line. Some of the other forwards aren't informed. Their half forward line really didn't work at all at the weekend. There's just so many question marks about them, and to be frankly honest, I was very tempted to drop them down to 7th. I kept them at 6th, but they're teetering. If they don't play well against Wexford this weekend, Kilkenny get ready to fall even further.
What about this player pathway as well for Kilkenny? Who's coming through, right? Because the last, would you say the last true game changing player to make it as a Kilkenny senior was Owen Cody. And Owen Cody's what? Mid-20s?
Yeah, like Cody and Mullen obviously came through as young hurlers of the year and are remarkable players. And you can't overlook the fact that Adrian Mullen is not quite back. I know Rachel was talking to him last week, and that kind of horrible thumb injury he suffered at the end of the Leinster Club Championship has really curtailed him coming back in for this season. I think he'll be really important and he'll boost their half forward line. But yeah, I mean, we have had players that have kind of been talked up in Kilkenny in recent years at underage level. St. Kieran's College continue to have a dominance over the All-Ireland Schools Championship. So there is a group of players who are coming through, but they're not necessarily coming through onto this team. And look, Derek Ling is playing a lot of the players now who he managed at under 20 level, which is probably the last very good underage team they had at 20s, but they are a little bit older. We're not talking about some of the other teams. We talk about the impact of young players who are coming in, and I know we're going to have a stat in a little bit about the amount of championship debutants who went flying at the weekend, but they don't seem to have an Aaron Ireland or a William Buckley or a Darren Erie or a Rabbit or these type of players who are really, really impressing at the moment. It looks like Kilkenny's generation is on a little little bit further. And despite all the players that Derek Ling has tried out, I don't know too many people would have argued with the Championship 15, which was picked on the weekend against Salt Hill, but the performance wasn't there.
There you go. Rachel, you do have Waterford in 6th and Kilkenny in 7th. What of Waterford, right? So this weekend, Walsh Park against Tipperary. First time, I think only the second time since this renewed Munster Championship 2018 that both counties have lost the first game heading in to meeting each other in the second round. And for Waterford, you just think it's the negative muscle memory of what we all know happens here to Waterford and Munster. But do you give them any hope at all? Look, they're teetering on the first graphic here for you.
I give them hope, but I think they're coming up against a dangerous Tipperary, you know.
A wounded tip.
Beware the wounded animal. And we say Tipperary, they only lost by 4 points in the end, and they played very badly. You know, none of their big players really got on the ball at all. So if I was Waterford, I'd be concerned about what's coming down the tracks. You know, if Cork and Tip had a real attritional game and they just eked it by a point or two, then, you know, it wouldn't be too bad. But I think a lot of those players are going to have a point to prove. If you've got Darren McCarthy, who didn't start, if he gets a start, he's going to be, himself and Sam O'Farrell, they're going to be trying to nail on that starting 15 against Waterford. So I'd be a little bit worried about that. But on the other side of things, they did play some really, really great hurling. And Bennett, like that goal he got where he takes the shot, you know, he is on an advantage that time. And somehow, you know, the two Clare defenders go off the ball, Bennett still flicks it down and somehow manages to get the shot away. Like it's magic.
Think of all his injuries as well, everything he's had to go through and endure just to play for Waterford.
Yeah.
And they're still knocking away. Let's have a look at 5-1 here. For Willow Callaghan's Harvey Norman power rankings in 5th position, down 2 places, Tipperary. Well, what is there to say here about Tip? Felt to me, right, so it was 13 of the 15 starters against Cork was who we saw in the All-Ireland final last summer. But it felt to me, well, it was like, actually, this is the first time we're seeing them at all in 2026 together as a team. And it was, geez, this is a bit late to get going, isn't it? First round of the Munster.
No, it's a good point. I mean, again, Ben O'Connor has not shied away from the fact that he has tried to switch up the formula ever so slightly. And I think back to maybe the game against Limerick where he changed large scale his defence. Remember the first day where they lost, not the league final. The league final was a bit closer to the All-Ireland final team. I think he's got a fair idea of what a starting 15 is now. I think it's not going to be too dissimilar to what we saw at the weekend. Obviously, Mark Coleman being back 100% fit meant that he can now go for this half-back line, which he feels is the settled one, which is having the two Downies beside each other and him over at right wing back. And that's the way I think they're going to play it for the season, with Kieran Joyce at 3 behind them. That was the big question mark coming out of the All-Ireland final last year, was who's going to play at 3? Would it be a case of Owen Downey would stay there, or would it be someone else tried out? It seems that Kieran Joyce, who I had question marks about, because I think you lose some of his hurling from further out the field by putting him at 3, but the last couple of games he has defended the square very, very well, and it looks like Cork were a lot more assured in defence, I thought, than the league final. So even in the few weeks since, Cork had stepped up there. But that will be the disappointment for Tipperary. Like, aside from obviously Ford was popping over the scores, there was a lack of contribution elsewhere in the forward line, which is why, to take Rachel's point, I think Darren McCarthy almost certainly comes back into the team this week.
Yeah.
Again, Sam O'Farrell, who was so good last season, is likely to come back in. I can understand why Sean Tobin was given the opportunity in the forward line, because he had been flying at the tail end of the league, and I think you want to reward form. And Liam Cal has been very quick to reward young players who are playing well. And so therefore, it was no great surprise to me that he started. I was surprised that Darren McCarthy wasn't starting. Yeah. So I think he plays in Walsh Park this coming weekend. They put in a really professional performance the last time they played against Waterford. It was a really windy day on both sides, but Tip in the second half strangled that game. I think they'll do something similar this weekend. And as Liam Cal said to us at the weekend to Stephen Gleeson on Off the Ball after the game, Championship hurling now really is what Tipperary have before them. This has now becomes knockout hurling. If you lose two, as teams in Munster will be very well aware, it's incredibly difficult to bounce back from two defeats and qualify. I know Cork did it once, but it is very, very difficult to do. And if they were to lose this one, it would leave them with a mountain to climb, with Limerick and Clare still to play. So Tipperary and Waterford, non-negotiable. Both teams have to win this weekend if there's any chance of coming out. I don't share Patrick Horgan's contention that Tipperary are the team least likely to come out of Munster. I think that's basically saying that Waterford are going to win this coming weekend and he thinks Tip can't get out. I still think the Tip will finish in the top three, but the performance at the weekend was not up to their standard.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're the All-Ireland champions playing at home, you've got the team you beat in the final last year, you expect something big, and we didn't get that from Tip last weekend.
You're slightly more positive about Tip, Rachel. You have them in fourth
in
your own power rankings. Look, it was 13 points apiece at halftime, the same number of points that Tip accumulated in last year's All-Ireland final. Darren McCarthy came on at the interval, was like, this is going to be a bit nervy, this will test Cork. But that third quarter was a different story altogether.
It was, yeah. Cork Cork took control, but I think the positive thing from a Tip point of view is that they clawed it back. And
you're quite positive about Tip here, are you?
I am. Yeah, they didn't play well at all, and they only lost by 4 points. Like, it would have been really easy when Cork went 9 points up for them to kind of not throw the towel in, because you're never going to throw the towel in a Munster Championship game, but just to ease off. And they pushed on, and it, like, Darren McCarthy gets the ball, wins a free down by the Cork goal, and like, that goes in, it's a completely different game. And even when he was taken, the last free he took, he looked over to the sideline to see, like, am I going up or am I going down? And, you know, sideline said, put it over the bar. But if he had gone for goal with that free, like, he's got such a good strike of the ball, could have easily gone in. Like, we could be having a completely different conversation. I think people have been negative about it because it was a really underwhelming performance for them, and we built it up to be such an occasion, the repeat of the All-Ireland final, but at the end of the day they played really, really badly and only lost by 4 points. So I think they're going to have a lot to prove, and Waterford might come at the wrong side of that one, I think.
Right, okay. While I have you, actually, let's get your Harvey Norman stat of the week, because it does concern Tip.
It does.
Cork.
Yeah, so across the Cork Tip and Galway Kilkenny games, championship debutants who started the game accounted for 121.
That's some going.
Big day for the debutants.
There was 10 points anyway between Walsh and Buckley for Cork.
Buckley getting player of the match. Barry Walsh, a lot speaking of him. Spoke to Dara Fitzgibbon about him during the week as well. Like, he is the player for me who looks just physically most at home on those senior team. Like, he's bigger than the majority of the senior players. Like, he is absolute unit. And what's positive for him is he made a couple of mistakes early on. And maybe tried to, at one stage he tried to flick the ball over two Tipperary players' heads, and that might be something you get away with at under 20, but you're not going to get away with it senior. But he recovered, scored 4 points. But my favourite aspect of Barry Walsh's play was Mikey Breen is running down the pitch second half, and speed on Barry Walsh, he manages to get back to him and causes Mikey Breen to foul the ball. He catches it 3 times. And when you're getting to do that in your debut, someone like Mikey Breen, who actually had a really good game, he caught 2 great balls out of the air. Like, that's good going, as well as the tally of 4 points. And maybe when we take a look at the Kilkenny-Galway game, that's where the big figures come in.
Well, look, Tip are the biggest movers in Will's power rankings this week, down 2. Up 1 for Will is Clare in 4th place. What of Clare, right? So I felt that this time last week, right, Tip was probably the side that we weren't really talking about an awful lot, right, as especially as defending champions. It feels to me that Clare are suddenly the least talked about side in Munster.
Look, they came out of Division 1B, which is part of this. I know Mick, who is a Clare supporter, was doing his best to say that we were underrating Clare in the weekend just gone by. And he made a very powerful argument about the forward options that they have. And we saw that at the weekend. Like, any team who can have Mark Rogers, Shane O'Donnell, you saw how Meehan did when he came in. So he was the player that had to make way for O'Donnell to start. You look at the rest of their team. I know David Fitzgerald's not quite a form, but Peter Duggan, again, was just fetching balls out of the sky in the weekend just gone by. So you've got facilitators, you've got scorers within that forward line. Tony Kelly, I know he was operating a little bit further out, but some of the scores that he got, particularly at one point where Waterford had got it back to 3 points and it looked really dangerous, and TK picks up the ball in what looked like a very difficult position to shoot, as he so often does in Ennis. He puts it between the posts when you think it's almost an impossible angle. I think the impossible angle was the phrase used by Jerick Hanning on the commentary as well. It's just such a lift. And I remember Seamus Flanagan saying at breakfast earlier this week that that's what you get from Tony Kelly as well. He scores and the place just erupts, and it's a massive almost an exchange of energy from the crowd onto the players when he scores. That forward line is stacked, and there's no doubt about that. The issue that Clare have right now is the defence. And we saw that at the weekend. They coughed up way too many chances to Waterford. When Waterford went in directly, they caused huge problems. I think if Clare come up against a even more balanced forward line, particularly Cork, Limerick and Tipperary further on the Munster Championship, they cannot be as accommodating and giving away chances as they were. I'm not sure exactly if that's a change in players' situation, if that's a change in system, but this has been a question mark over Clare for a few years now, which is a bit surprising when you consider that Brian Lone is one of the best defenders of all time, and you would think that they would be almost in the image of their manager. Sometimes it works out, and Clare won lots of score fests when they won the All-Ireland in 2024, so maybe you just rely on your big guns to continue to put up the score lines to win games, and Clare might be the funnest team to watch all summer as well. But when teams are analysing, they will see the opportunity to get in for goal chances, and it might be determined by how clinical you are on the far side. But Clare, obviously, if we're going to respect them totally here, they've got people who've won the All-Ireland previously. Even their young players were around to get experience in that group in 2024. There's some young players coming in like Stitch, who I thought looked brilliant at the weekend. And I love his kind of flowing hair coming out of the helmet as well. It's almost like a throwback and he just runs directly. I love that he took a 1-2 with Tony Kelly and went straight for goal the minute that he came on. There's a lot to like about Clare on that side of the pitch, but they have to address what's happening on the other side, or otherwise Ivor Quilligan is going to be one of the busiest goalkeepers in the championship this year.
Speaking of fun, we're having too much of it. Time is flying. Let's race through 3-2-1 here for Willow Callaghan's hurling power rankings with Harvey Norman this week. Up one place is Galway in third, with Cork second, Limerick first. On Galway, Will, right? So a fantastic victory against Kilkenny, as I say, second time in 5 weeks, a bit of a hammering. How do we know where Galway are if Kilkenny are in this state, and considering the other threats in Leinster, how strong actually are Galway?
It's a fair point, but I can't mark down against Galway because of the opposition that they're playing against. And Galway could well win this Leinster Championship, and people will say, well, until they come up against Munster opposition, that's going to be the true barometer of where Galway are. The reality is that Galway look like a team transformed from the year before. And obviously, a huge part of that is the injection of the young players. Rachel's already given you the stat about the first-time championship players coming back in. Mm-hmm. What I thought was really important the weekend just gone by is that Galway last season had a Cathal Mannion dependency when it came to scores in terms of frees and also from play. At the weekend, Cathal Mannion was able to orchestrate things a little bit more than having to be the finisher. And then you look at the rest of the team, we've mentioned some of those young players already. Aaron Ireland for me was the best young player that we saw in the league this year. Thankfully he's not injured, really bad hamstring last year which destroyed his season really. Rabbit looks incredible, like very good physique for a young man, but also quite quick of foot and got that hardiness like his dad as well. James Skell was saying to me on the Hurling Pod members pod, which is available now, that he has been most surprised by the way that Darren Neary has come through, how hard he has worked and how good he has come at inter-county level at a very young age. Rory Burke was incredible, I thought, the weekend as well. He's got all the skills, he's a really good dead ball striker as well. Just to have those players coming in has just rejuvenated Galway coming into this season, and it's hard when you watch a team who run the ball the way they do, the free scoring forwards that they have as well, not to really like them as a neutral. And that's the point that I've kind of come at with Galway now. My stat of the week was one that actually came from Pat Hoban, the former Ballyhale Shamrocks manager, who shouted this at Paul Murphy when he was going for a run down with the river in Kilkenny, which he wasn't expecting. And he said, I'll text you later on with this stat. And the stat was that Kilkenny have got a remarkably poor record against both Wexford and Galway. So maybe we shouldn't be overrating this somewhat. So since 2018, 13 matches, Kilkenny have only beaten Galway and Wexford a combined 3 times between the two of them, which obviously means that Kilkenny have got a crazy record against Dublin and the rest of the teams in the Leinster Championship, and they generally are able to peak when it comes to the Leinster final itself. But the reality is they've got a pretty patchy record against them. And the other one, which I'm going to steal from Michael Verney on this one, is that the only manager to beat Galway and Salt Hill in the round robin era, if we want to look at it that way, is Micheál Donoghue, the Galway manager who beat them with Dublin. And the last two managers to knock Galway out of the championship, this is a stat frenzy for you here, were Galway men, Matty Kenny and Micheál Donoghue.
Doesn't end there with Galway.
Need their own men to beat them. And a Galway man is in charge of Offaly this coming weekend in Salt Hill. So maybe Johnny Kelly can continue the trend, or maybe I'm being too hopeful.
Let's continue the landmarks concerning Galway people. Your Harvey Norman County story of the week, Rachel.
Yeah, the debutants took the headlines in Galway, and fair enough, but it might have gone under the radar that Dahi Burke made his 100th appearance for Galway as well. So not only do they have that injection of youth coming in, to have a player like Dahi Burke still playing and bringing the experience that he does, 100th appearance. I mean, they had a beautiful graphic of him up as well, kind of very old timely done from his club, and to have him there leading those young players on, invaluable.
Incidentally, you both have the same 3-2-1, Galway, Cork, Limerick. If this is a week by week exercise that we do, which it is, the power rankings, why aren't Cork top?
So you're basically going to punish Limerick for not playing?
Yeah. Well, Cork proved that, and we don't know about Limerick. We just don't know. We don't know what Limerick are like in the championship.
Yeah, it's still based off that league performance. They're still top for me.
What about the old adage, it's only the league?
No way.
That was championship. They beat Tip, exercised the demons. They were 9 points up with 10 minutes to go. They still got the job done. Why aren't Cork top?
Because if Limerick are 9 points up with 10 minutes to go, they go on and win by 15 points.
We don't know that. Look what Limerick did against Dublin last year. We don't know.
No, they're a different team this year. I can't see past them. Will?
Rich is not wrong in that one. I do love that you're just trying to inject a little bit of chaos into the power rankings. So Tommy Rooney is going to be here for the football power rankings this week, and I've no doubt he's going to say he's got a very complicated algorithm which he has somewhere down the back of his laptop, which he claims that every result is factored in, and if you don't play you could be damaged by this much in the algorithm and whatever. I've always said the hurling power rankings this year, Rich and I, are going to be vibes mainly, but let's not be entirely
vibes
unreasonable
purely.
Here.
I've had a great time. I've enjoyed it immensely. It's funny you say this because Tommy Rooney is literally in the production box with a laptop.
Yeah,
looking at it. We're just waiting for his turn. Just one note here, by the way. How about Hawkeye there in the Tip Cork game? There, Fitzgibbon. We're waiting and waiting and waiting.
Very tense.
I guess it wasn't great for people in attendance. The TV viewer eventually were given the information. We were waiting and waiting and waiting here.
It was good. Colin, yeah, created a bit of an atmosphere.
Hawkeye needs a reboot, by the way, in Semple Stadium. And the reason I think it does, I was at the league final there a few years ago, Waterford against Cork, and it broke down because it was in the box beside me and they were trying to reboot it physically at the time. It's the only time I've actually seen Hawkeye in person, was when they're in the booth beside the off the ball place in the commentary area. So I actually got to see them physically do it, so maybe it just needs a bit of a reboot in Semple Stadium.
There's someone in there who's been ignoring the install updates now for the last 6 months and they just need to go in and press that button. We've all done it.
Rachel Sheehan, Will O'Callaghan, thanks a mil. There we are, Harvey Norman hurling power rankings this week.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.